two hints which we have gotten so far, that is, chant in a relationship, create a sambandha, a bond. And the second is a very nice and very deep technique. It is that you try to keep the vibration of the sound in the heart, in the Anahata chakra, and from there it will be able to spread everywhere. So the way you keep something in your heart at the beginning, when you are not doing this regularly, is definitely to go through your breath. Breathing in the heart and breathing out. Why don't we do this? Just try to breathe for just a moment into the heart. And then out. We can keep on doing it while I talk. As if there is a nose on your chest, so to say, if that helps you, this imagery. Please try to sit straight. And then on an exhale, we will chant Ram, which is various things. It's a mantra for giving energy, because you might need energy after this heavy schedule. It is also a devotional mantra to Lord Ram. So I will do the, and then when you breathe in, always do the heart breath, yes? So I will do it one time alone. When you hear your sign, then we will chant Ram together, one time alone. But in between, when you inhale, always do the heart breath. Sit straight again. Deep inhale. We do this now three more times.
Rama Rama Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare.
Higher, please.
Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare.
We can hear by your sound that you are trying, but some of you are still hoping to reach. It's very easy to keep the vibration in the heart if you just see the heart as a spiritual place, almost like a beautiful cave, And then you go with your attention there. You bring your awareness there. It's almost like going down from the brain into the heart. Then you sing from there. You stay like as if you have found the best place with the best echo, with the best environment for you. And you are there totally protected on yourself, by yourself, and with yourself. And then sing from there. Please, let's do that together.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare.
Very good, very good. One more time, please.
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, Hare Rama,
Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare
Hare Rama,
Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama,
Hare Hare Hare,
Hare Krishna,
Hare Krishna,
Krishna Krishna,
Hare Hare,
Hare
Rama, Hare Hare,
Hare Rama, excellent. Just make sure also when the kirtan melody goes up, and it might pick up speed, who knows, to try to stay in that protected area of the, it's called in Sanskrit Dahara Akash, or devotionally it's called Hridaya Mandire, the temple of the heart. To stay inside, and when the mind goes out, as it will do, it's a wandering nature of the mind, just gently bring it back and tell him it's much better inside there. We can always go outside, but not now. Now we remain totally inside. And you will see, you have just started the greatest discovery journey with many things to reveal themselves on the path. Please, let's sing again. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna. Fantastic. Now please do one more thing. The second Krishna is extremely long. So you need all the air of this planet Earth to sing it. And the second Rama, in the second part of the mantra, again is extremely long. From here until Vrindavan, this long it is. So you need to really breathe and sing completely without hesitation. Please watch me doing it and then you will please join me. I will do it alone first. Hare Krishna. Now it comes. Hare Krishna. Krishna, Krishna, Hare, Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama. Rama, Rama, Hare, Hare. Everybody! Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna
Krishna, Hare Hare.
Time, please, all of us together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. I was introduced to this melody by a monk with whom I became very close towards the end of his life. It's Bhakti Swarup Damodar Goswami. He comes from a land which most probably many of us have not heard about, Manipur. You have heard this name, Manipur? Ben has, yeah? It's a state in the Himalayas. It's tucked away from Western civilization. And this monk has really raised many eyebrows in a positive sense in his state. He had gone as a student. He had been invited by a university in America, Illinois or something.
Illinois.
Yes.
Illinois thing. State University.
Yes. So he had been invited there on a scholarship. He was the first student from this forgotten land of the jewels. Money means jewel. And when he returned, practically all the press in Manipur and government officials were there to greet him from the airplane. But the way he came out of the airplane was totally unbelievable. He came in monk dress, shaved up. The scientist who had made his doctor in biochemistry, that was his subject, had become a monk. And his friends were all in the government, but he did not want to do to be part of this type of life, scientific doctor. He instead put his heart into building a beautiful temple in the town Imphal, that's the main town there, and he also put his heart into singing these kirtans. This is a typical melody, you know, a long sliding melody. All the melodies of Manipur are, some of them are much, much more long drawn out. It's very difficult for us Westerners to sing. This was very simple melody, the most simple. I don't know the complicated ones. And he had also made a few schools there in Imphal. He was really famous and very much liked by the people because he had a double miracle story. He became a PhD in America, and he became a monk. Two very big eyebrow raiser. Now, we had become friends and he invited me to visit the town of his birth. So has also a beautiful name, Vishnupur. They're really spiritual. And on the occasion of his coming there, a kirtan festival had been arranged with many different kirtan groups from the surrounding mountains. I remember the most interesting one of Vetu, you know, they dance in very amazing dance steps while they, in synchronicity, then they play in synchronicity. At the end of the kirtan, they start to jump, but very high, up to the ceiling, I would say. They're the flying kirtaniyas, and they turn around while they jump, and then it's extremely peaceful and slow. They have a dancing step called the approaching tiger. It's a dancing step, beautiful and very cultured. So this was a kirtan festival. There was also a tribal group. They were dressed in tribal costumes, amazing. It took a few hours. My friend also led a kirtan group, very trained kirtaniyas. And I remember then came the climax. The king of kirtan was elected, and of course it was the PhD who had become a monk. And everyone converged, all the groups in one sankirtan, doing kirtan together. And then there was a program. It went late. People had to go back to the mountains where they had come from. And I remember one scene, which is my entry scene into this session. He was sitting there, very famous, before a large football field, and there was no one there any longer. They had to go home. But he was, I still remember, it was so wonderful. There was a stage, the wind came and blew the black drop up, and you could see the Himalayan mountain. And he was there, absorbed in the kirtan. The kirtan king of Manipur, seemingly without an audience, because they had to go home. They can't travel in the darkness. And we were singing 1 hour more, because we were sleeping in Vishnupur. And I asked him, why did you keep on singing when no one was there? It was crowded, Asian audiences are easily going into 50,000 or so. No one was there. And he said, oh, Shachinanda Maharaj, I'm only singing for one person, and he was there. Some of you know who that person might be? No? Krishna, you know everything. That was his feeling. I'm always only singing for one person, and he was there. That idea, I learned in Vrindavan myself. In the temple, Radha Syam Sunda temple, or it's called Krishna Balaram temple, there is a kirtan program called the Akhanda Kirtan, the uninterrupted kirtan. It goes since years, it's throughout the day and throughout the night. It is not stopping. You might have heard there are Akhanda Deeps, that is light or fire, which is not stopping, it's kept ongoing. So this kirtan is the Akhanda Kirtan. And they divide the day in various shifts, which are taken up by the monks and the kirtan singers. And I got the night shift, which is 6 hours. Whew! 6 hours kirtan every night. So I remember this one particular scene. It got too much for me, but I was scheduled. And if I would not sing, the Akhanda Kirtan would stop. And I didn't want to be the one who stopped it. I think you can understand. So I still remember, we started with a kirtan group. Midanga player was there, kartal player. The first one to fall asleep were the pigeons. They live in the temple. The next one to fall asleep was the kartal player. Then the harmonium player fell asleep, no problem. Then the temple guard fell asleep. You know, they are supposed to ring the bell by the hour so that any robbers know better we don't go there into this temple and take the lamps or whatever, because there is a guard, temple guard. So he fell asleep also. You noticed by there was no longer the bell ringing even when the hour was completed. And then the Madanga player fell asleep. And you know, they said, Maharaj, urine. And it means they need to pass water. How can you say no, you know? And then they either don't return, or they just lay down somewhere under there's a tree in the midst of the temple, and so on. So then I was there, the lonely kirtan singer, the lonely tired man. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Rama, you know, like this. All of a sudden, I felt someone was listening. some, it felt, whew, it didn't feel spooky, but it felt someone is listening. You have this when you drive on the Autobahn and you feel someone is gazing at you and you don't know. They may be 5 meters to the right or to the left or wherever, but you feel that gaze in your neck and particularly focused on your beautiful Shika and so on. And someone was listening. And I tried to, who's listening? Everything is empty here. And everyone is asleep, even those who are supposed to help her. And I then understood distinctly between the altar doors, which were closed for the night, there was someone listening. It was the one who was listening with the many names. And it was such a profound feeling. And I remembered at that time, no, this happened before, but I remembered when my friend told me, I'm always singing for one person. That happened later, but I remembered my experience in Vrindavan, where something shifted in me. I actually began to think singing is a matter of seva. It's my seva. Seva can best be translated as service done in a selfless spirit. You don't expect anything in return. That is very important when you do seva. You don't expect anything in return. You do it in a selfless service, not for you, but for the person or the persons, plural number, when you serve devotees or serve people, but you do it in a selfless way. And please look at the power of seva for a moment. Most of us, or most, let us say, most people in this world do things always for a reason. They do things to get with an expectation. They say things with an expectation. They may say something nice to you and they expect you now to say something nice in return to them. Maybe you have seen. Most people are always motivated with the idea to get something in return. That is a hungry activity. It is, the ego is hungry for getting something back. And therefore, most people by their activities are only inflating the balloon of their ego. Because they do it always for an expectation, either money, appreciation, fame, or being acknowledged, and so on. Seva is different. Seva is an activity done without any expectation.
How do you spell it?
Seva, S-E-V. And A. The word is Sanskrit, yeah. The word is completed in four letters. Seva. You do it without an expectation, and as you do it, seva cuts the knot of the ego in your heart. That is very important. The seva cuts a deep knot in the heart, which is binding us to the world. It's a knot of ego. It's therefore described in some texts that seva is the very heart of bhakti. The very heart of bhakti. No? Without a heart, our body cannot work. Without seva, bhakti does not work. In the Garuda Purana, it is said, bhakti, the word is has two syllables, ba, bak, and ti. Now, don't ask me about the complicated Sanskrit roots. This is not my expertise, but the root of that, that means the origin of that, is bhaj, bhaj. Bhaj means to serve. And therefore, thoughtful people who want to have the experience of unlimited bhakti, love in their heart, they will always try to serve. They will always try to do seva. That something in a selfless mood of service. Because then they know they will wake up from the regime, the terror regime of the ego. No? That's why they do seva. They want to do seva. For instance, a kirtan leader, therefore, will not like if you invite him and pay him. He will not like to do this. He is not there for a music performance. And all kirtan leaders, I do have a few friends in the world, like Krishna, and why do I say the world? I have a few very good friends, like Krishna Das, we feel very close somehow. He knows this also. He's a well-informed person, a wonderful person. We don't share the same philosophical convictions, but as a friend, he's nice and reliable, and he takes friendship very serious. He says, "I know. I give kirtan concerts. I do know it is not. I don't feel good, but the only thing I can do is singing with people, and I need to keep the operation going. My management needs to be maintained, and so on." And it's known amongst the kirtan scene, but sometimes maybe. I'm not there to judge others. Some compromises is necessary so that they can do kirtan. Kirtaniers will, for instance, grieve if you pay their flight or their travel costs because they are poor. But the idea to get paid for kirtan is not desirable. Everyone knows it's better I do it as a service. As a service for the people, as a service for God, and so on. Because I want to get out, I want to cut the knot of this expectation, you know, for reward. So, yes, this is... once you can do kirtan with the idea to do service, we say, kirtan seva, no? Kirtan service. My dear people, you seem to enter into a very, very good dimension all of a sudden. I can only explain it like this. When you row a boat, and the boat is tied to an anchor, you don't really move forward. You are from Croatia, you know this. No? You can put a lot of effort. Only when you lift the anchor or cut the rope, if that is the easier way, can your efforts bring you forward. So in kirtan, you move forward really if you do it as a seva. If you come to the kirtan and you now understand, I will do the service to Krishna, I will do the service for all living entities, all sentient beings, and then you seem to move forward. Yes.
Well, what if someone wants to give us the nation as a sign
of appreciation and love? Yeah. That is. Yeah, yeah. That is a loving exchange, you know. That's a loving exchange. Seva. Now I have something here, a text. You see, this is a newsletter which I sent to retreat participants, not to this. This retreat is, I mean, this is a very, only three lectures, but there is a very, very nice text, wisdom text, about performing kirtan in this right mood. It gives an Ayurvedic example for kirtan. Who of you had jaundice? You?
Yes.
Heavily?
Twice.
Really? Did you have also yellow eyes?
Everywhere was yellow. My whole body was yellow.
Really?
Yeah. It was very intense. Jenny's dad had it.
Jenny's dad, who went to India or in Germany,
he got? He was drinking too much alcohol.
Oh yeah, then also. So, jaundice, there is a traditional way of healing that. You will get a shock what that treatment is. You have to eat kilos of sugar, rock candy, and somehow your blood becomes so sugary, you almost hear it when you walk. I mean, exactly, I'm, you know, it, no, it gets dissolved in the blood. I remember I had jaundice when I only had it once. I had jaundice when we were just traveling from India into Kashmir, and we had every evening a big kirtan program in the respective town or villages. We would collect grains over there from grain merchants over the day, cook a beautiful preparation called halava, invite the whole village, or if we were in the town, invite the whole town and sing kirtan on the marketplace or any big assembly place. You know, there was a Swami with us who talked very beautifully in Hindi and so on. And I got on that tour jaundice, and they had a tour, you know, every day in new town, and they needed to leave me because it was so bad. And they said, when we return back, because we were in buses and they were shaking, and I was lying there and my bones were rattling already. So I remember I had jaundice, and so they left me. They told one village, I was left in a village, and they told two people. They gave them Lakshmi, now money, to take care of me and also to have a little for themselves. And yes, and I remember every morning I went to the village, and the whole village was assembled to see me take off my shirt because I looked yellow, like a ghost. And I don't, you have a beautiful complexion, I have not. And when there is a yellow, it looks sickly. I can imagine your complexion will look very beautiful when it's, but I looked very sickly. And the whole village was, they were just looking at me. They had most probably never seen a white man, and they're not a yellow. I mean, real yellow white. Who has a yellow something here? It was glaring yellow. And I learned I had to just eat a bag of sugar. And I did it for a whole week. First, the sugar tastes very bitter. But then as the disease gets subdued, it's like chemotherapy, I would call it. As it gets subdued, the disease, you begin to feel the sweetness of it, and then you're cured when you can taste it as sweet. So a similar treatment for a normal person needs to be done there in terms of chanting. You need to chant for a prolonged time the holy name, and that will work. And I will read you the text here. The holy name are sweet like sugar candy. Although the tongue of one who is afflicted by the jaundice of ignorance cannot taste anything sweet. We can't taste the holy name as of yet. We just like the jaundice patient can't taste the sweetness. It is bitter. So it is wonderful that simply by carefully chanting these sweet names every day, a natural relish awakens within the tongue, and one's disease of ignorance is gradually destroyed at the very root. I hope you don't become sick by my jaundice example. This is the power of the mantra. If you chant it with the spirit of seva, nam seva, it acts as a powerful antidote, a medicine which drives away the disease of ignorance. And you begin to taste it, and at one step you don't wish to stop any longer. So I would like to now make an exercise with you and try to see if we can chant in this spirit of seva. Are you ready? Ben is ready. Igor, ready. In this exercise, there will be a brief meditation where I will request you to try to offer your chanting as for Krishna's pleasure. Now, I do know that some of you are maybe not such glowing worshippers of Krishna, so you can substitute it with whatever you consider the divinity. I mean, it should also be divinity. It should not be a squirrel, you know, or something. And then sing to please. Just like you do something to give a gift to someone, to please them, you try to move yourself out of the center, and then you please. I remember when I was a little boy, we have in Germany this Muttertag. It's called, is it in English also Mother's Day? Do we have Mother's Day? So I had saved 10 German marks over the year. My parents never gave me money. They thought it's not good if we spoil him. So I had to save it. I had to work for it as a child, you know, getting something. So I took it. I went down to a restaurant and bought a huge thing of pralines. How do we say that in English? These toffees. Toffees? Pralines? Toffees? Yeah. And on Mother's Day, I came with the toffee case to my mother. It is for you, just for you. My mother got furious. How much was it?
10. Mother, it's Mother's Day. Please accept this gift.
How much was it? And I had to tell, I gave 10 marks. The mother said, you are a poor person. We are rich, but you are poor. I do not wish you to spend all this money for me. This is not a good investment. So who sold you this?
Mother, that's all right. No, who sold it to you? Who cheated my poor innocent boy? So I had to tell the name, and the mother immediately went with a coffee thing to the restaurant. And I loved my mother, so I went behind, you know. And she found the person. It was the owner of the restaurant. And my God, my mother, I've never seen her so furious. You do not know. This is an innocent boy, and you are taking money from him? This is very bad. What is your character? Take this back and give him the money. Mother, strong German mother.
They were trembling. Oh, yes, 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 Mrs. Patterson. Oh, where's the boy?
She looked around. She knew I would come in. Said, take your money. Then I said, I can't leave it like this. I went to the wild meadow, and I remember I just picked flowers. I had such a bunch of flowers. And then I came to the mother crying, Mother, this is for you, Mother's Day. And the mother thought there are no vases for so much flowers. But she didn't say anything. She just took me on her lap, and both of us cried. And she accepted that the gesture of affection on Mother's Day, I never forget, was a very moving scene of German love. So in, I remember when I was picking those flowers, I thought, Mother has not accepted the toffees, but it's her day, Mother's Day. She has to accept something. And I just picked the flowers only for her, only the most beautiful flowers I could find on the fields. And gave. And in this way, I have always thought when I do kirtan, I offer the holy name like flowers, a flower gift. And that has brought me to a very loving space, a space where there is no more the ego present. I have been in situations in kirtan, particularly I remember in Mayapur, where there were many people expecting a nice kirtan, but I was tired and jet-lagged, and I had almost no voice. But then I sat down, and in the midst of it, I thought, I do this now for seva. If it's up to me, I would go and sleep, but I do this for seva. And the kirtan became electrified because it was accepted. So, okay, sit down, please. You sit already, yes. What is very nice is if you make this gesture, some of you did it like this, then you have the opposite effect energetically wise. You have to put the thumb over the index finger. It means the truth is over the ego, right? Take care. We will center ourselves now. By simply being aware of our in and outgoing breath. and there are thoughts, feelings, memories, plans. We take notice of them, but we don't dwell on them. In this way, they will quickly move on as clouds do. Maybe good to calm ourselves, so we will chant three times. Good Ram. You can do it now. Continue to breathe softly, happily. Our chanting is an activity done in bhakti. Bhakti means seva. It's meant to please Krishna or the devotees or the people. We will perform Naam Seva now. Bring your consciousness to your heart. And think to yourself. The Divine is very close to me. The Divine has descended in the form of the Holy Name just to give me shelter or refuge. Let us offer our chanting now like a loving sevite. Sevite is someone who performs service in a spirit of selflessness. My dear Lord Krishna, I wish to offer my chanting to you. It is for your pleasure. Please accept me. Please accept my gift of seva. Hare Krishna. Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama. Rama Rama. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna. Flowers, some bring incense, some bring talents. We will bring names like flowers as an offering in the spirit of selfless service. It is easiest to do this by coming from the heart space. Please sing now. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. One more time together. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama, Hare Hare, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare. Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama Rama Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna Hare Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 time, please. Hare Krishna. Two more things. One is at the very end. It's a surprise. I cannot tell you what it is now. but in closing, I would like to request you to consider deeply to do some Naam Seva. What I have particularly in mind is that when you have completed this course, I think we are coming towards the end, isn't it? A few more days maybe. And you have completed the course. And when you go back to your respective places where you live, please take from here this idea of Naam Seva with you. What does this mean practically? It means that you sing. Sing more and more. You have learned some the instruments. For sure you can do what I always do. I have two pairs of kartals. This is when I do group singing, and I have a second one. It's mostly when I'm alone, they are smaller, less volume is required, and I sing. I sing where when I have the opportunity. And I do it in the conscious spirit to do it as service, nam seva. When I'm alone, that works very nice. When I'm with others, that works very nice as well. I think you can decide if you are alone or if you're with many. Please do this, and you will see a miracle unfolding in your life. What you will begin to see, that you walk into a different world. Yes, you may be still in Hamburg or in Berlin or in Lyon, Avignon. I'm trying to think of some towns. Or in Zagreb, yes. Or Belgrade or
Amsterdam,
yes. Where you are, but you will perceive the town differently. Because through seva, doing seva, something opens. I can only express it when I do seva to other people, to Vaishnavas and so on. I feel very connected. The separate feeling is gone. I'm connected with everyone. I first noticed this. I had been in a spiritual festival, and I somehow felt out of place. I didn't know anyone, and it was in the beginning of my spiritual life. And then I decided, well, why don't I do some seva? I distribute prasadam. And I did this, and that not in the heart, I am different, or I feel different from here, went, and I felt an amazing connectedness. The same thing happens in relationship to the divine. When I do things and service, and I sometimes do even something extra, which is beyond my own limitations, and I feel a connectedness, because there is no separating ego any longer. The wall has been torn down by seva. So I would like to request you to see how you can do nam seva. You can say, I went to this super cool course, was a little intensive at times, and I learned to play instruments. Why don't you come and see my and see what I would like to share? And then you do kirtans with the people. You teach them even how to sing along. It will be a novelty, you know. Even a friend can come, or if you're in the forest, the squirrels and the birds and whoever's there, very much welcome. And you will see that sense of separateness goes. I've seen in India, I go for these long, long meditations in japa, and I've seen animals come and lose their shyness. I've seen a cobra and a mongoose being peaceful with each other. They are arch enemies. I see this very shy Nila Gauss. They come and surround me and do their business. I do my japa, and there is no fear. So that seva is a very, very important concept. Please try to make your experiments. Good. Now I want to see if there are some questions remaining, and then I will share my surprise with you. Yes,
Jennifer. I have a practical question.
Yes, Jennifer.
It's related to my personal professional experience.
Yeah.
If you are in the spirit of seva, without knowing it, maybe, and you feel that the other person is exploiting that
Can you maybe
talk about that a little bit, how to
deal with that and that. I have a sense what you of the specific situation, but we will not go in publicly in the detail, obviously. You have to see, do you do the seva for that other person, or do you do the seva of teaching or training the people? These are two different things. Now, there are situations where they kind of come close and at times may even overlap. At that time, when we find our good-heartedness exploited and then I think we have to see how we can build a wall and protect our seva to God, to the other people, so that can go on. And when we feel exploited by a certain person who sees our good-heartedness and who sees, my God, this person is so enthusiastic and fired up, and let me take some advantage here, then we should somehow cleverly solve this situation, because our heart becomes fried or burned too much, and then we cannot do the seva any longer. We should somehow build that wall or protect our seva so that we can offer happily seva without the feeling that, oh my God, this person, this bloodsucker, vampire person, is totally exploiting the situation. How that is done, Jennifer, first of all, we didn't talk about anything concrete, and I might be totally at error here. In this frame, we cannot talk more concretely. How this is done, I mean, at this stage, I don't know, but it needs to be explored. Various opportunities need to be explored. Let us be very clear. If our service spirit is there, but we find the circumstances so intolerable, we cannot joyfully render service for a long time. We are not machines, you know, who can, and we need to solve the problem, but on the level where it is. It's not with the people, it's not with your seva. The problem is between you and the exploitative situation or person or whatever, and it needs to be separate. Okay, potatoes go to potatoes, and apples go to apples, you know. So the seva goes to the people, potato situation needs to be solved. I hope that my answer serves you, yes. Exploitative people. And the point is, you can never satisfy them, because for them, enough is not enough. There is no enough. It just doesn't exist, that border, where they desist and become normal. So you have to solve it with them somehow. This is all I can say. If you wish at another time to discuss the particular situation which is in your mind, and you think I could help, I'm willing to do. One thing I must caution, in my life, I've always been very sure that any management of any situation cannot infringe on what I can do. That's why I took this order, because they are free spirits, these people in this order, because I had a few uncanny experiences, and I understood I need my freedom to develop, you know. And management sometimes wants to take things and people, and wants to, management is not people oriented. I mean, it should be, and there's good management which is people oriented, but sometimes management is money oriented or things oriented, and then the people suffer terribly. Thank you for asking. But seva, let us return to the main point. Seva should go on. Let us not. I liked Mr. Nelson Mandela. He was asked, when he marched out of the Rodan Island prison, he was imprisoned, I believe, 20 years or something.
Yeah?
Long. Even longer. He was asked, what is the difference between the Mandela who walked in the prison and who walked out of the prison? And very nice man, Nelson Mandela, explained. When I went in, I was full of hatred against these people who have done so much injustice to my people. So much hate. You may recall, he was getting weapons, you know, and organizing an armed resistance against apartheid. You know, I was full of hatred. When I came out, the days before already, I thought, if I take that hate with me into the world, I still am in prison. I take the prison with me. Therefore, I have left this hate here. And that we should do when we are wronged, when we are exploited. We should, before we come to a place of, you know, and anger and desperation or whatever, let them not have your soul. Let them not have your heart, you know, these people. We should defend ourselves somehow. How? I cannot, because I do not really know the situation very clearly. I can therefore not talk. Cannot say anything. Good. Anyone else? I saw two people at the same time, so who goes first? Yes, then you go first. Yes. Yes.
Yeah. Happiness, wishing everyone happiness. And then Lord of Duryodhan, he also is always encouraging in his classes to say, may everyone become happy. In general, how the question then, how to reach to others, to connect them closer to Krishna, or just closer to God in any way we believe, but not go very indirectly, but still not be too much, maybe straightforward. Maybe some people are not ready for Maha Mantra straight away, but in yoga classes or in some events when we do, how to then connect, start with some more soft mantras, like Om Namo Bhagavate Vasudevaya, or Hariom Tat Sat, or this Lokah Samasta Sukhino Bhavantu, and then lead to Maha Mantra.
Om Shanti.
But how, don't be afraid.
Yeah.
Maybe myself, or they will not understand yet, so I then take soft mantras before, but eventually need. So
I would say there are two types of presenting spiritual life and also Krishna consciousness. One is which immediately makes a tension between people, and it is when you want to convince them of something. And you really drive it hard that they should take to your particular spiritual conviction. The other is you just want to share things from your tradition which you feel may be of relevance for them. You try to see how their life is and what will help them. I must say, I developed for this reason a little bit the meditative corner, because people first need to become peaceful a little bit. Lose their anxieties, become sukhino bhavanto, happy inside. I learned this from the Garuda Purana. May all be free from distress. May all see good, see the good. These types of mantras are very good. They can relate that to their situation. And then, after they have become a little bit peaceful and calm, they love to... you can also present the Maha Mantra, but do it in a balanced way. I remember Ben gave me a very good tip. When we first met, I said, so what do we say here? Ben knew Ramanji from Paris. So how do we present? How do I say? Can I say, should I say Krishna, or should I say divine, or the Lord? And he said, sometimes say the divine presence, then Lord, then Krishna, then everyone can see how they relate. Present it in a universal way, which it is, you know, it is. What could be more universal than Bhagavad Gita? It's considered world literature, as one of the treasures of philosophy which the world has. It's very renowned. You have to understand, people wish to have a spiritual experience. They don't want a dogma, you know, particular... But a spiritual experience, wow, they really love. I have seen our Madhava as... Maybe we can... Well, I think it is answered already. Our Madhava chants many times with big yoga assemblies, and they dance like anything, isn't it? Like anything.
Yes, after pigs, it's usually, like you say, it's like a meditation.
Yeah.
Which really opens the heart, it calms the mind.
Yeah, yeah.
And then it naturally comes into the rhythm, makes up, and then the dance.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah. You have to help them to come to that place of, in the wavy mind. The mind is like a lake, and there are many waves. So let that calm in the beginning, and then they can see the jewel on the ground. But they can't see the jewel on the ground. They can't see the relevance of what you have to offer when the mind is just so wavy and upset and. People undergo a lot of stress nowadays. Ooh, good. Yes, Beatrice?
Benedict.
Yeah. But that's a boy's name, no?
In Germany.
Oh, yeah.
In France, it's only for women.
Ah, yeah.
Yeah. But my second name is Beatrice, actually.
Oh, yeah.
So
oh, you knew.
My question is simple and very vast, but what's the meaning of Maha Mantra to you? And
yeah.
It changed over time, but I'm sure, yeah, I would love to hear from you.
What is the meaning?
many things. If I can use one word, I would say ashraya, ultimate refuge or shelter. I feel just I don't need anything any longer. Sometimes I feel Gokrishna is always with me, and he's my musical man. He knows how to play and sing, and he corrects me when I get off the melody, and so on. And we had one experience where it will become very clear. Many experiences, but it was in Lithuania, and we were chanting with many people. And either I said it, I think afterwards I said to Gokrishna, I was feeling my life is perfect. I have no desire any longer. I don't need to go anywhere any longer. If I could, if this would be the time while I sing to die, I would be the most happy person because I would die in the perfect situation. And I felt this shelter. Shelter is a word which is very common in the spiritual traditions of Asia. The Buddhists talk of refuge. They translate it in this way. It's just a feeling of being at the perfect place. Means complete place. You don't want to go anywhere. You don't have any plans. Plans in regards to that there may be something that is lacking in your life and you need to now fix it. No, everything is all right. You're so content. It is interesting. My spiritual master was once asked by a journalist, "What do you feel when you chant?" It was one of these situations. The journalist needs to get his story, and he's running after the important man with his tape recorder, and he just ran and stopped him and poked the microphone in his nose. So, sir, what is that? Prabhupada said, sir, what do you feel when you chant this Hare Krishna? So it was, Prabhupada gave an answer. I think it's called gunpoint or what?
At gunpoint.
At gunpoint. You know, as if someone puts a gun on you. He said, I feel no fear. So when you first hear, do you think, is he normally afraid? But if you understand the tradition, which is the background of the statement, you understand the spiritual world is described as Vaikuntha, being absolutely full of bliss. There's not a shadow of Kunta. Kunta means anxiety. So when Prabhupada said, I feel no fear, he said, I feel I'm in Vaikuntha, the spiritual world, no? Where there is no fear, no anxiety. And I guess that's a little bit what it means for me. I'm at the perfect place. I can't imagine a more perfect place. Obviously, I have my very bad days of chanting, you know. I have a lot to do. My life is totally hectic. You can ask Gokrishna. Very hectic life when I'm traveling. And there are things which keep my, you know, decisions. And I spare you to be a monk and to be active with many projects. Ooh, then you have to, yes, you have to do it as seva, selfless service. But when, so sometimes it infiltrates into my chanting also. There are things, phone calls, things to solve and so on. And I can't say that I always manage to switch off, but more and more so it works. And then I feel just like that.
one of my friends would say, you feel like, you know, but I wouldn't express it like this. If you would be a teenager, I would say, I feel super cool. And you are a serious inquirer. Yes, let me now secretly, oh yeah. My dear people, I know we can spend more time. I have now thought, what can I give you that comes from my heart? And I understood there's only one gift, the bona fide Krishna gift, Krishna cookies. They are the original recipe. This is the real Krishna cookie. And I have brought a few, and I'm maybe the most simple is as you, yeah, that you come and because you anyways have to get up